Well, good morning. Good morning. What a beautiful day. Good to see all you, and welcome if you're on holiday. How many holidays here on the sunny coast? Great, welcome. Yeah, I hope you have enjoyed this beautiful weather, and great that you could join us this morning. Just to let the parents know, there is a creche upstairs. There's a room at the back as well. Of the foyer there if you need to use it, but my plan was not to be long this morning, so I just wanted to share a few things with you this morning, and then we will close the service together. On Friday, at the Good Friday service, I talked about the power of a single word, and certain words can really stir up emotions in us. They can get the cogs in our brain working and active, and they can tear down, they can build up. And you know, there were some powerful words that Jesus said on the cross. One of them that we talked about was the word forgive, a life-altering word, the word forgive. But then we looked at a passage in his final sort of part on the cross, where before he gave his last breath, he said this word, which is in Greek translated tetelestai, which is in our English translated as "it is finished." It is finished. Well, what was the result? What was finished as a result of Jesus' death? And we talked briefly about that on Friday. And, you know, the result is in the words of that beautiful chorus that we sang earlier, "Worthy is the Lamb." I'm just going to read out the result of what has been finished. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid. The result, bearing all my sin and shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Washed me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, result, your forgiveness and your embrace. You see, what is finished on the cross was any religious system or systems that can make us good enough to be in relationship with the Holy God. Because of the cross, we can enter into God's love, His acceptance, and His forgiveness for us. And also, a result of the cross, it is finished, that the power of sin, that which is destructive in our lives, that which just multiplies the brokenness within us, that was finished on the cross, that power that it has over us. And now we can walk this journey into wholeness of being saved as people in Christ, of becoming whole people, aligning ourselves with the will, the good and perfect will of the Father. Friends, tetelestai, it is finished, was Jesus' last word. But it's our first word unto salvation. It is finished. Where His life ended, our eternal life begins. That is amazing grace, friends. Amazing grace. But friends, the Easter story, as we know, as we've seen this morning, it doesn't just end with the word tetelestai, it is finished, doesn't it? It doesn't end there, because Sunday was a coming. And there's a word that expressed by the angels at the tomb was a powerful, life-giving word. And then these are the scriptures. If we could have that PowerPoint up, that'll be awesome. Let's see if it comes up, we can get that scripture going. All right. Tetelestai, it is finished. These are the events. After the Sabbath, the dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. And there you will see him. Now I have told you. Wow. This word, risen, is agero in Greek. We've had tetlestai. Now we've got the second word, risen, agero, to waken, to arouse from the sleep of death. Friends, we can proclaim this morning that there's no uncertain terms that Jesus is alive. Amen? Jesus is alive. Agero. His resurrection declares to us that God didn't create us for time. God created us for eternity. Death is not the final say. Our own resurrection will be the completion of God's work of grace in our lives. And one day we will see Him face to face in His glorified body, and we too will have glorified bodies, as it says in Romans 8:11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. And friends, the kingdom of God will one day be established, and everyone is invited to be citizens of that kingdom. As it says in Revelation, then the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and loud voices called out in heaven, "The kingdom of the world is now the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever." Agero, He has risen. Tetelestai, agero, what can we do with those two words? What should our response be to those two words? I'm going to read John 20, 24 to 29. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nails in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas's response was this, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." You see, Thomas had missed the first encounter with Jesus. Maybe he was a practical realist. The crucifixion had been the end of Jesus, and this amazing journey that he personally had as a disciple of him, following him around, learning from him, seeing the great things he had done, that journey was over. It had come to an end. Done and dusted. Which one of Jesus' disciples would be next to be taken out? Jesus said, "It's going to cost you, friends. It might even cost you your life." Well, it turned out that way. So perhaps he'd hidden in fear and hidden alone, despondent, brooding over the failure of Jesus' mission. That was Thomas. But the good thing about it is that his mates seek him out. That's cool. His mates seek him out. And they're wanting to share with him some great news. "We have seen the Lord." But he demands proof, doesn't he? "Unless I feel Jesus' scarred hands and wounded side, I will not be convinced that what you are saying is true, that what you have seen is nothing more than a mystical ghost, a figment of your imagination. How can anyone be certain that a man of flesh who was dead can rise again to life?" Well, his mates somehow get him to join them 8 days later. They're in there in the upper room. And this is the brilliant thing. Again, Jesus comes to the meeting and offers them the gift of his physical presence. Particularly, I'm sure, to Thomas for his sake. He comes to Thomas not with these lofty words and arguments, but simply offers Thomas himself. Look, Thomas. Touch, Thomas. Here I am. It's me. This wasn't an illusion or a vision, but a real person. And you know, suddenly the penny drops for Thomas. And he moves beyond sight to faith. And he cries out and says those words, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. Friends, what should our response be to tetelestai and agiro? My Lord, kureos, a person who has absolute ownership rights over others and can wield unrestricted power, one to whom service is due at any basis. My Lord, my kureos, and my God. He spontaneously gives Jesus the loftiest title that can come from human lips, especially Jewish lips. The resurrected Lord is God. Theos himself. And so the realization for Thomas begins to sink in. Friends, it was God on that cross 2 days earlier. He didn't open a window in heaven and shout down and say, "Hey guys, I love you, pay attention to me." He didn't send a messenger, a servant, or a colleague to act on his behalf. He came himself. Amazing grace. He came himself. And friends, to Thomas, the sight of the resurrected Lord had been granted. But millions and millions of people over the last 2,000 years have not seen Jesus in the physical. Well, some actually have through visions and stuff. But the majority of people haven't. But yet they've believed and responded to the message and to the call that God has given them. And they've experienced God's reality and His activity in and through their lives. And have known and experienced the goodness of God. And I say to you this morning, do you know Him? Do you know Him? Is He your Lord and God today? Because He comes to each one of us this morning and says, "Friends, I have a plan for humanity. I have a plan for you. Do you want in? Do you want in? My Lord and my God." This morning, friends, we can celebrate the amazing love and acceptance and forgiveness of God. We can accept the, just praise Him for the results of that, you know, that we're forgiven, that we too, this is not the end, we were created for eternity. But most of all, there's a response required from the message and the good news. And that is, are we willing to say, "My Lord and my God"? I want to end the service by playing this video. It's Thomas' declaration. Why don't we stand together? This is a sermon. And a powerful sermon. Well, this is a little clip of the sermon done by this beautiful man. You might have heard it. It's called, "This Is My King." And we can acknowledge this morning and proclaim this on Easter Sunday, who our King is. Oops. Okay.
The Bible says He's a King of the Jews. He's a King of Israel. He's a King of righteousness. He's a King of the ages. He's a King of heaven. He's a King of glory. He's a King of kings. And He is the Lord of lords. Now that's my King. Do you know Him? No means of measure can define His limitless love. Well, He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's impurely powerful. And he's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's a fundamental doctrine of true theology. Do you know him? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? My King is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yeah. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my King. Yeah! He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my King.
Awesome. Is that your King? Yeah? That's our King, friends. That's our King. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for such a beautiful time together of celebrating the fact that you rose again and all that that means, Father God. We pray that we would see you for who you are. Father God, that in our daily lives that we might be able to say, you are my Lord and my God. We bless you this morning. We give you the glory and the honor and praise that is due to your name. And may we be carriers and givers of your divine glory as we point people towards the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, everyone said, Amen. God bless you. Enjoy a cuppa, a time gathering, and have a wonderful weekend. And safe traveling for those who are heading back from holiday. Live life, honor the call, walk in love, truth, and power. Bless you guys.